RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Takuta Ferris is a New Zealand politician, a member of Te Pāti Māori. He was elected to the New Zealand House of Representatives at the 2023 general election as the MP for Te Tai Tonga. His electoral success was one of the biggest surprises of the 2023 general election. He's an outspoken critic of the national-led coalition government's policy, which he claims attack Māori language and culture. He was appointed Te Pāti Māori's Education, Te Tiriti o Waitangi, Justice, Police Corrections, Drug Law Reform, Water, Fisheries, Forestry, Broadcasting and Public Service Spokesperson, and sits on Parliament's Justice Committee. We've invited Takuta onto RCR to talk about the Māori Party's Members' Bill that would make Waitangi Tribunal recommendations binding on the Crown and Māori customary foreshore and seabed rights. Kia ora, Takuta. Thanks for coming on RCR.
Kia ora, hoa. Very welcome. Good, glad to be here.
That's one hell of a job description. you've got a lot on your plate, man.
Yeah. Well, there's only a limited number of us, so we just have to divvy it all up and do the best we can.
Okay, tell me about the bill. Why do you think there's a need to present this bill, generate it and present it?
Yeah, sure. Well, for a long time, there's been a lack of real accountability for any government, Labour-led government, National-led government, right throughout my lifetime. So historically, if bills come into the House and they are adverse, if they're racist bills and they aim to strip Māori rights that are guaranteed in Te Tiriti o Waitangi or otherwise, there's no way for the Māori people to get an independent critique of that. An independent critique that will be influential on the ongoing process in seeing those bills through. So we do have the Waitangi Tribunal now, but its recommendations aren't binding on the Crown. So the Crown can just ignore them. And John Key, there's a clip of John Key, a famous one of John Key, when he came up against this with the Takutai Moana Act, and he just said, well, I don't have to listen to those. So that's the nature of the embedded attitude of all governments. And so come 2024, we're now dealing with a raft of legislation that are they're no longer sort of undercover or, covert, soft attacks on Māori rights. They're outright blatant ones. And so it occurs to us that that can't be the future. That can't continue. And so the members' bill that we've put up will increase the power of the Waitangi Tribunal to give binding recommendations if anything needs its investigation. So currently, a good example right now is the Kura Kaupapa claim concluded in the report put out last week. And it's got some clear recommendations. And when it comes to education, Māori education, Kaupapa Māori education models and delivery over the last 30 to 40 years have outperformed the mainstream education delivery models. So why the heck it continues to be an alternative route for Māori, why the heck it continues to be funded to the degree of only 1% of the education budget is beyond anyone. And this report sets out quite clearly a set of recommendations that the Crown should follow to help Kura Kaupapa to expand Māori education, to expand and raise the Māori educational achievement for our kids and our youth. Yet currently, the government can, and I can guarantee will, ignore that. So we need an intermediary body that has the legislative authority to give recommendations that the Crown, that the government must adhere to and make its best efforts to embody.
I can understand, how you feel if things are just sort of tossed away, like the example that you gave John Key, right? But doesn't then the pendulum swing all the other way, which maybe is kind of the same thing, but just in the opposite direction, where you've got a body making binding decisions that most of the voters probably never thought they were signing up for. I guess what I'm getting to, is there any sort of halfway point between the two?
Yeah, well, that comes down to the mechanics of how we might do it, eh? And so there's probably two issues that I might respond to with you. One is the mechanics of what would it look like, and the other is the nature of constitutional rights in this country. Let's deal with the constitutional rights first, because it leads into how we might do it. So the constitutional settings in this country, I'll give you a simple example, actually. There's only one way for a person to remain in this country as a resident, and that is to possess citizenship.
Yep.
Okay. So Māori don't necessarily have that requirement. Why? Because we're the tangata whenua, we're the Indigenous, the First Nations people of this country. So we don't necessarily need that citizenship to remain here, but everyone else does. And this is what Te Tiriti o Waitangi afforded everybody in the country, is the right to citizenship and the right to be in the country. And that's not a contested right by Te Iwi Māori. That's exactly what was gifted in 1840. You know, but too many of our people don't understand that in that sort of simplistic view. And too many politicians talk about it in muddy waters and, muddy terms, keep everyone confused. So let's just park that as the constitutional right piece. Now, the way we might do it, and this isn't revolutionary new thinking. These ideas have been floated before. The way we might do it is that the membership of the Waitangi Tribunal would be a 50-50 membership, half to represent tangata whenua, the Māori who signed the treaty, and half to represent Pākehā, Tauiwi, citizens of the country who signed the treaty and gained the right to citizenship. So what that does is you set up a body that's a 50-50, it's a pure treaty partnership approach. Okay, one side selects its people, the other side select their people. And the benefit of doing that is that, oh, by the way, there have been plenty of non-Māori people involved in the workings of the Waitangi Tribunal over the years. So that's not a problem. The capacity is there. Now, the significant benefit of setting up a body like that is it means that both all of the tangata tiriti, or the Pākehā side of that house, and the Māori side of that house, they understand the complete current context, application, understanding of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. So their arguments are based on the facts. Their arguments are based on the rulings that have gone on in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Their arguments are based on what it means to the country now, today. You know, and none of the ambiguity, political posturing stuff will be acceptable in there, because it's a level playing field of experience and understanding. And what that will do is it just cuts out it takes the oxygen out of people like Seymour, who continually spout out things that are completely incorrect, complete lies, misleading the public, just firing generating that fire that keeps everyone caught in just throwing stones. And it will clear up what Te Tiriti o Waitangi means to the country, and how it is applied through the parliamentary process. And that'll cut out a lot of the rubbish that occurs in Parliament.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but some of our listeners will still not be confident about that, because many of them see a lot of the judiciary and establishment figures on, if you want to put it into sides, our side, as activists themselves. And there would be questions over, where they're coming from in this as well, because it sounds like two sides in a sports game, kind of, in a way. It's putting the representation of so many people into such a small number of hands, isn't it?
Well, there are naturally two parties to Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
The
composition of either side of the house, let's just call it the house, the composition of either side of the house would be up to either side of the house to determine. So if they want legal minds in there, who could be like Finlayson, let's say, if they want the legal people to be in there, that's fine. Put the legal people in. If they want the academics to be in there, that's fine. Put the academics.
Yeah, but who are they?
Well, they are the tangata tiriti signatory to Te Tiriti o Waitangi. It's just that simple.
So that's the crown.
So that's the crown. But you see, the crown is the government. The government is the executive administrator of the crown and represents everyone who falls under their citizenship authority. So that's okay. They get to decide who represents them in the Waitangi Tribunal and who has the best capacity to address the concerns that are raised by either side of the agreement. So, you know, and this is a little bit of a future-focused Waitangi Tribunal. Everyone thinks it's going to be all the Māoris in there making Māori decisions, because that's largely what it's viewed as today. But what we're talking about is an equal representation Waitangi Tribunal. Either side could bring a case to it, and both sides would have to work their way through it. But the key is that they'll be working their way through it on factual information, on actual things, you know, on actual understanding, on current understanding and debate, not on just whimsical ideas that make some people vote one way and others vote another.
You mentioned David Seymour. What's got on your goat about what he's been saying? Just asking.
Oh, well, I don't really let him get on my goat.
For want of a better term,
you know, a little bit out the gate, because the stuff he says is just completely untrue. You know, it's sort of a bit of a laughing joke amongst people who know things about Te Tiriti o Waitangi. But in actual fact, it's a disservice to the people that vote for him, because he's just saying stuff that scares them, you know, and makes them be further and further away. So here's a real good example. We've just gone through the Māori Wards Bill, and all of the councils from around the country, when they came to submit, because they came to the Justice Committee, they talked about what they've done in the last 5 to 10 years. And what they've done is they've built the relationships required between them, their local iwi, their local marae, their Māori communities, and they now understand that Māori have significant resources. They've always had significant resources in those regions. Māori now have significant capital, you know, and that capital is going to stay in the region. It's not come and go capital every 3 years. It's going to stay in the region. Māori have a permanent population that are always going to be tied to those regions. So they've done the work to create these relationships that are now, you know, creating good mutual benefits. Some councils said it's good now. We no longer get the iwi no longer take us to court. So we save money by not being in court, and we get more things achieved because we talk directly with the iwi. You know, so those councils have had to do that work over the last 5 to 10 years. They're now in a place where they're really happy and they can see the benefit of working together mutually. But unfortunately, the government has done none of that work. You know, they're just happy to just fire out things that are upsetting te iwi Māori to a significant degree this year. So, you know, that's the type of thing we're talking about. How do we get to a better place where the resources and intents of both sides can be brought together? We cut out all of the noise, all of the stone throwing and name calling and all of that sort of stuff, and get to a position where we can move together in a more constructive manner.
Though the people have to go along with it, don't they? That's an undeniable fact in the end, isn't it? And if people feel like they're having things are done without consultation or without them having a say, that can be a problem. How do you get around that?
Well, that can be a problem, but that leads us to a different conversation. And that conversation is, you know, well, what is Te Tiriti o Waitangi? Is Te Tiriti o Waitangi up for a democratic referendum? And the answer to that is no, it's not. You know, Māori and the Crown didn't sign the democracy of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. They signed the Treaty of Waitangi. Okay, so that's our first clue, that the treaty is actually something but beyond the democracy. The treaty is the foundation of the constitutional settings that allow the Crown to be in this country and operating a degree of its authority. And, you know, if we want to be clear about what the degree of authority is, then we just need to go back to the forerunner document, which is the Declaration of Independence, This is a document that's only gaining, is only, you know, beginning to be socialized in the country, yet it's housed by the government in archives. The Declaration of Independence basically says a few simple things. Number one, Māori are an independent nation in the globe, supported by the then monarch. Number two, they won't accept any foreign laws or lawmaking in their country. Number three, they won't accept any form of government, foreign government in their country, unless appointed by them. And number four, they agree to meet to work out trade, law, keep the peace, and those types of things. So when it comes to Te Tiriti o Waitangi, the power that's being granted to the Crown in Aotearoa is the power to exercise their own government for themselves.
So that sounds like a...
Okay, the thing that underpins that is the base document, Te Tiriti o Waitangi. You see, so that's quite a different conversation to the conversation of the democracy as it runs today. Yeah. And I'll agree with you that the country probably doesn't quite have the general understanding to dive right into that conversation now, but it's something that we will develop over time.
That evolves.
It evolves, yeah.
Yeah. Want to get your comment on this, if you don't mind. We had Muriel Newman on earlier this week, New Zealand Centre Political Research. And she was commenting on the foreshore and the seabed. She was opposed to taking the foreshore and seabed out of Crown ownership and said on this program, the public was largely opposed to it in the submission process. More than 600 claims were made at that time. She says it was only getting worse. And she opposed claimants being able to claim customary title using tikanga, because it makes it too easy to make a claim. She says it would be based on exclusive, or should be based on exclusive use since 1840 and not shared exclusivity. And theoretically, it could wind up with Māori groups owning or having control over the entire coastline of New Zealand. What do you say to her insecurities and fears over that?
Yeah, well, the Māori rights that she's describing and is fearful of had always existed before 2004. They had always existed. The 2004 event was a complete, dismissal. It was a complete confiscation, dismissal of the Māori rights and the resource. The Crown didn't openly own that resource. Before 2004, there had never been an act of Parliament passed taking, with the Crown taking ownership of the resource. And that basically meant that the rights that were recognised in Te Tiriti o Waitangi with regard to iwi and their local waters were still in place. So that sort of blanket confiscation and just dismissal of Māori rights 100% occurred. Now, unfortunately, Māori had been lumped with the job of clawing their way out of that for the last 20 years and have been actively doing that job. But where we are right now with the government, John Key and the Māori Party in the middle of that, 2011, repealed the act, made it the Takutai Moana Act. John Key set a bar. It's a very high bar. To prove exclusive use of a piece of coast to be able to claim customary title of it, and all of that. So that's all gone on. And in the last few years, some of the iwi have managed to get over all of those hurdles and clarify their customary rights.
So it's possible. Coast. It's possible. Even
though it's possible.
High bar,
some iwi
it's
have
possible.
Done it.
Yeah.
Some okay. iwi have done it. Right? So... And all they've done is had to run a lengthy process to get back to the starting place of their rights.
Yeah. Mind you, it's been paid for. It's been funded. You know, it's not like they're out of pocket.
Oh, I can guarantee you, because our hapū is one of them, it's not all funded.
Okay.
It's not all funded. All of your kaumātua are travelling down. Legal might be funded, but the people effort is not funded. And the people effort is massive. The research effort is massive. That's not funded. So, the legal piece is funded, not necessarily the whole thing. And, you know, so this is just what the government are doing now is they want to make the bar even higher. That's what they want to do. They want to make it even higher. And if you would ask me, they're quite interested in having unfettered access to any piece of coast and the resources there. But at the end of the day, Māori still live on those coasts. We still use all of those coasts. Those are the places, many of our sacred places, many of our coastal power right on the edge. So, you know, to say that just because land was taken and sold or given by ballot to a farming family and that land hits the coast, to say that the rights to that coast are now no longer the iwi or the hapu's rights, that's far from accurate. So there's a lot of thorns in there. No doubt as the government ramps that up, we've already seen a pretty quick and swift response from Te Iwi Māori on this one. So it's going to be interesting. But, yeah. You know, the New Zealand public don't have anything to fear. Māori have been happily just, you know, leaving access to coasts open for centuries. I know some people had a quick look at that that phenomenon to see who had locked up coasts, and there were more Pākehā who had locked up coasts using private land and access mechanisms than Māori ever had. So it's an unfortunate, you know, it's an unfortunate football that's back being bandied around.
Takuta, before we finish the chat, give me your assessment of race relations right now, because I think some people are feeling a little stressed about it. And how do you see it all ending up in your ideal vision?
I think in the younger generations of New Zealand's population, race relations are a lot better because the younger people have been exposed to more information, more learnings throughout their schooling and just generally throughout society, and are more aware of what the crux of the ongoing argument is. And many of them understand and are recognitive of their place in it, okay? And they're happy with that. And so what that does is it enables better conversations between the two tiriti partners. You know, you haven't got one trying to hold on to everything and, you know, seemingly exclude the other. No doubt there is extreme tension in the community right now. And unfortunately, the Māori people have to wear the negative outcomes of that. So, you know, as this government rolls on in the next 1-2 years, I don't think this government will make it out of its, will make it into a second term. As I sort of look around, there are a lot of pockets of Pākehā people who are extremely dissatisfied with the actions of the government.
So well, the last lot weren't too good. Let's be honest. The last lot weren't too good either. They printed $55 billion. They locked us down. They abused our rights. So hang on, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, you can have that view. But there is definitely an aggressive, more overt attack underway with the current national government than any other government before. You know, and, you know, if people don't recognize that, well, that's only because they're just missing a few pieces of the puzzle. But that's the reality, and that's the strain that the people out there are feeling.
And what chances are the bill to end up, do you think?
Oh, the bill's there to create the conversation piece.
Okay.
And the conversation piece has to begin, and it has to keep going. And that's what we'll do, regardless of what happens to it. But there will be no escaping the outcomes of the conversation. You know, that's the thing. I mean, the bill needs 75% support to get through, so probably not likely with the current national government.
But we're talking about it.
Yeah, the thing is, we'll be talking about it, and more clarity will be shown into the dark abyss of what does the treaty mean.
The dark abyss. Oh, dear. Standing on the edge of the dark abyss. Look, I want to thank you so much for coming on and explaining that. Really appreciate it. And we can chat again, all right?
Yeah, kia ora,
Paul, kapai, ngā mihi. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.